It's me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Did you say nigga?
Fuck off, so you can just suck my cock.
Yeah, motherfuckers. What's up? It's Thursday night. 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Midnight to 1 a.m. over here in East Coast. And we're live. If you're around, you paid your cable bill and you're stealing somebody's internet signal or you're stealing somebody's cell phone, 800-893-9562 is who you can call and kick it with us tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, just in case, a.k.a. Nestorius. What's up?
What's up? Sal Rodriguez, co-host of NPR and Nestorius Public Radio. I'm very upset. We started 3 minutes late, and you know how I am about starting on time.
Really?
Yes, I just banged the table.
Really?
You just told our guest not to bang the table, and I just banged the table.
Really? On time, motherfucker? Because you told me you were going to be at the house at 8:15, and you were there at 8:16.
You know, speaking of that, on the way over here, you seem kind of angry. Are you kind of agitated today? You seemed angrier than normal. You normally have an agitation about you, but you seemed a little more angry than normal.
Well, I'm bipolar, so it depends on where you catch me. I could be fucking out of my mind, or I could be depressed.
I'm bipolar, too, but I really hide it and contain it and then just, like, go, like, drink and smoke at home alone, naked, and nobody knows.
Right.
Well, now they do, but...
With spoiled rice milk in the fridge, right?
That's right. And believe me, I got AT&T calling me about my cable bill right now.
Got it. So let's move quickly into... Like, what it was like for you being Latino this week or last week? And I'm just curious. I always think about this.
Well,
you know?
Fortunately, I think that the Latino subject or the Mexican subject has not come up too much in the last few days.
Right.
Trump, they're talking about the debates overall.
No, for you.
I know, but they're talking about the debates overall. So being Mexican is not really in the limelight right now like it was a few weeks ago.
So how was it for you being Latino?
No,
like,
this week I had no Latino experiences.
You had a Latino experience last week, motherfucker, because you didn't show up for the show because your mom, who happens to be Latina, forgot to return call and your brother's calls, a.k.a. a whole fucking bunch of Latinos, and therefore all you guys thought that she was dead or something.
Yeah.
Or she was missing.
No, my mother has officially disowned her children. She has 5 children, I believe, at this point, has officially disowned her children. See, here's what I want to say publicly. I'm a good son.
Yeah.
I take my mom to lunch.
You
take her to dinner. I'm going to invite her to the fair.
You're a good son.
But she gets in fights with my siblings.
And you got
to
pay for it.
And then she takes it out on me.
Really?
She's like, oh, my kids hate me. I'm like, I was going to invite you to the fair. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, I got to suffer because of her relationships with my siblings.
All,
and I'm sick of it.
All your brothers are fucked up. But Guillermo... He's a nice kid.
Well, also my two sisters, apparently. You know, my mother's getting into fights with all her...
What's the fights about? What are the fights about?
I know for one thing, my oldest brother John was recently married, and he wanted to introduce his new mother-in-law to my mother.
And she said, fuck that whore.
Yeah,
I don't want to meet her.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you have a new mother now. Well, you don't need me
That's
anymore.
That's what Latinas are like. She's a whore. Fuck her. It's like, ma, that's my wife's mother.
Yeah. Oh, well, you have a new mother now, so you don't need to call me anymore.
Well, fuck you. Don't call me no more.
You
can go to her house for Christmas.
Go call your new mom. Hey, how about you go call your new mom on Thanksgiving? How
Dude,
about that?
That's fucked up.
So she disowned all of us. See, but here's what I want. If my mom wants to disown me, I'm okay with it. I just want to make sure she's alive and okay. So I'd like her to just call me once a week, say fuck you, and then hang up.
Right,
she's alive.
I'm with you on that. I'm fucking with you on that. I'm going to just share my mother experience one time. So my mother... lives in Puerto Rico. My mother is a born-again Christian. So me and my mother are kind of like at odds for a long period of time, for long periods of time.
Yeah.
And so, like you, I would call my mom on occasion for whatever reason, and I would call her landline because she didn't have a cell phone, right? I'd call her landline and... You know, in Spanish, el número que usted está tratando de llamar está desconectado. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right? So I call my sister. I'm like, yo.
Wait, that was like a recording from the phone company or from
her? Phone company.
Okay.
It says the phone is disconnected.
Okay.
It's no longer in service. So I call my sister. I'm like, yo, did you speak to mom? Have you spoken to mom? No. I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, I don't understand.
Exactly. Is she lying there in a pool
like,
of her
own
vomit?
Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
So long story short, I come to find out that she disconnected her phone and she has a cell phone. But she never told me.
Yeah, sure.
And she never fucking told me her cell phone number. Yeah. And I'm like, and this is kind of like the story of my life with my relationship with my mom, which kind of like has put me in a position many times over to say, go fuck yourself. I don't want to deal with your shit no more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that's not really cool because then, you know, that you're not being a good son or whatever. So I told her what I said to her mom. How would you like it if I just decided to up and fucking leave the United States and go to Colombia and not tell you about it? Let's say.
And what'd she say?
She started talking about Jesus.
Or Jesus.
She started talking about Jesus.
Jesucristo.
Big up fucking Jesus. It's fucking. She started talking about Jesus. So then that was like, okay, that's enough. I got to go.
You know what? I got to say this, and I hope this doesn't sound racist. Therefore, it will.
Who
after
gives
saying
a
that.
Shit if it sounds racist?
I think Latino moms are probably the worst moms. They're probably the worst moms. Really?
I don't know, man. I don't know because...
I don't know any good Latina moms.
It depends, dude. I mean, I know a lot of people who... put it this way. Latina moms have to work twice as hard. Not twice as hard as white moms because it all depends on... Or black moms. It all depends on their socioeconomic status and whatnot. You know, women have to work hard. Harder than men. Right?
Women have to work harder than men to what? Prove themselves, to earn more?
To do anything. To make it. Whatever. Like, you want to be... what? I mean, there's exceptions, but whatever.
I mean, I have a high opinion of women.
I see one of our guests shaking her head no. We're going to introduce our guests right now.
This is the truth, and this is what I firmly believe. If you put a man and a woman in the same job capacity, mm-hmm. the woman will do a better job than the man.
Absolutely.
I really believe that.
9 out of 10 times, but that's not 100%.
Yeah. Maybe because they try harder. I don't know what it is.
I think that women have to work harder. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And Latina moms, you know, I think that... they have to work twice as hard as, I don't know, regular moms. I mean, I grew up with regular moms, whatever they are. Listen, eh? Latina moms have to work twice as hard as your fucking puta madre, eh? Because I don't know why, but that's how it is.
You think it's easy raising you, you little piece of shit? I don't have no man here supporting me. You think it's easy raising your little punk ass?
You think it's easy? Whenever you want a toy, it comes out my ass? You think it's easy? Whenever you want ice cream or you want fucking new Converse sneakers, you think it's easy?
You like the new Converse? I'll get you your Converse.
By the way, my mom does not speak like that. Does your mother
speak? You want Converse? You want Converse? Come over here. My mom used to beat the shit out of me as a kid. She if I wanted something, I'd throw a tantrum. And then she'd be like, you want this? What flavor? And she, want to whack me in the head with it. So my mom didn't speak like that. I'm kind of doing like a Puerto Rican Mexican mom.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, and then we'll definitely move away from moms, is that my name is Nestor, and my mom gave me that name, and she's never called me Nestor.
Yeah.
She always calls me Néstor. It's like a fucking accented version of Nestor. It's like, bitch, if you didn't know how to pronounce the name, why didn't you just call me fucking John or Bob or something similar? You know, something simple.
I'm thinking Nestor.
She used to call Nestor. How you doing? I'm like, fucking 50 motherfucking years. You've lived in America and you fucking, how you doing? It's like, how's Rosemary? Everything okay? You doing? It's like, what the fuck?
Is that how your mom sounds?
Kinda.
I've never heard your mom.
Yeah, I'll play a recording of her. Anyway, today. Big up to bilingual moms who can't speak fucking English. Big the fuck up your bomba clad pussy clad mama. All right. Let's go around the room. Let's introduce our guests. Today we're going to be talking about, we just went from moms.
Yes.
And we're going to go from moms to death to magic.
Well, because when I think of my mom, I think of death because I'm going to get the house, motherfuckers.
Is that how you think about it?
No, but I tell you this, I'm very excited about our guests because I am interested in both of these topics.
Yes.
They're representing the funeral industry and the performing art, magic industry. And I'm very interested in magic. And I was actually going to work at a funeral home once.
We all have stories about magic and funeral parlors and death and embalming and all that shit.
I know. I mean, so I want to talk about that. I also, one of our guests is a mortician. I want to clarify what a mortician means. Is that like a coroner? Is that like a funeral director?
Who the fuck knows? We're going to introduce him and we'll ask him.
All right, you introduce
him. So to your right is Miss Eden Draven.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We're good. Did you enjoy that retarded dialogue of Latino moms?
I did. Especially the sound effect.
You got some insight.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. Are Latino moms, do they have to work twice as hard as white moms?
Well, see, the thing is, I'm Mexican and...
white.
white, I guess you could say. Well, my stepdad's Mexican, so I kind of saw that side through him.
Uh-huh.
He was the way your mom was.
Uh-huh.
And then I had the white mom fighting him.
Right.
Wait, but how about your biological father?
Oh, he's in France.
Is he French?
I guess.
Like white
yeah,
French?
He's white.
Okay. So you grew up, but it's funny, you said you were Mexican, but your stepdad is Mexican, not you.
No, you know what it was? Because he raised me since I was two.
Okay. Well, it's the culture.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're familiar with the Mexican culture?
I grew up in Southgate. I cannot not be.
Wow. Yeah.
Orale, puto, eh? Right. How you doing, yeah. eh? You want some fucking tacos or you want a hot dog or what? Make up your mind,
Quit
puto.
Quit talking shit, fool. Quit talking shit, Holmes.
Cook up your mind, eh? You want some hot dog? You want some juice? Hurry the fuck up. There's a big line over here, man.
So you went from did you start out in magic or did you start out in the cemetery industry?
Well, hold on. Before we do that, let's introduce Liz.
Okay. I thought we were going to go one at a time.
No, let's introduce everybody we'll open it up. Liz.
Got it.
Well, I didn't get your last name, Liz.
Oh, it's Paige.
Liz Paige. Uh-huh. And you're an escape artist.
Escapologist, yes.
Wow. Escapologist.
You gotta make it sound
so
fancy.
You study the art of escaping, or you actually you escape?
I can actually
both.
I do both. I have to study it to
right,
be able
right,
to
right.
escape.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
So if you were captured by that guy Castro, he put you in his basement.
Ooh,
you
would have
been out of there.
Fidel?
No, remember that Castro guy who put like four women in his basement?
Oh, that scumbag in like Arizona.
You would have been out of there.
I would have been out of there in 15 minutes.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
Are you Latina? Part Latina?
No, but I did live in Southgate too.
Okay. Because those girls, I want to say, all those girls happen to be white.
Yes.
Okay.
If
it was a Latina, she would have been like, listen, motherfucker, open the motherfucking door up, okay? I'm not fucking playing with
My
you.
My cousins are going to be here in 1 hour, puto.
I'm not
one
fucking
hour.
Playing with you, okay? I'm not fucking playing with you, puto. Anyway, Liz is right. Technically, in front of Liz is J. Remy. J. Remy.
Yes.
Now, that's your full name? Remy, or is that J?
J. Remy.
And that's not your last name. That's your last name.
That is.
Okay. So why do you introduce yourself? And you're a magician.
Yeah, close up.
And a close up magician.
Yes.
Okay. Parlor of prestidigitation.
Yeah.
I'm talking the Academy of Magic Arts and Science building, the Magic Castle here in Los Angeles.
Yes,
there's, the Owl Hut.
Yeah,
on Franklin.
There's two of my favorite rooms. Called the close-up room, which is kind of small and intimate and fucking
over to the left as soon as you get in.
No. Forget where it's at. I'm just like, it's probably one of my favorite rooms there, but I've had my mind fucked in the parlor of prestidigitation as well. But yeah. but the close-up magicians really are fucking like out of control. You know what I mean? I mean, you've never been, Jaco. And then to J. Remy's right is our intern, Jaco.
Hi, everyone.
Who's his last...
unfortunately.
The official last day or last night step. On Skid Row Studios.
Yes. Yeah.
He's been deported back to Switzerland.
He's going to get to feel how a Mexican gets treated.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, puto, you've been here too long, eh? Long enough? Get your shit and get out.
Get over here, fool. Get on the bus, Holmes.
Going back to Switzerland. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't know. You've never been to the Magic Castle, which is a shame because it would have been amazing for you to go there.
Well, next time.
Next time.
Sure.
It's amazing.
All right.
But let me just say this. So the parlor of prestidigitation, you get some dude and or a girl or a couple, and they go through this like mental story and this, that, and the other. And what I've seen a lot of guys and women and couples do is they impress a number or a story or whatever the fuck.
Are you talking about mentalism?
It's, I don't know, the magicians will explain. I'm talking about from my experience.
Yeah.
And you know, they'll be like, so what's your number? 35. And this crazy shit, somebody will, that's your number. Oh shit, I had the number. Was this the number that you had? Just shit like that you don't even know. But a lot of times it's in a story. You know what I mean? It's in a gimmick type story. And I don't want to say gimmick, but it's in the delivery of how you do the magic, the elements of the magic.
Yeah.
And whereas the close-up room, I've seen dudes like do similar tricks, right? Similar illusions that I've seen other people do. But again, it's in the story. A lot of times, like some dude had a cell phone and shit, and it rang, and this crazy shit like this. Very entertaining.
I do find that interesting how a lot of magicians today are utilizing technology and iPhones in their magic.
Well, they're keeping it current. But my thing is, when you're in a close-up gallery, like literally, you're fucking, like, it's small. So it's like, you can't, like, where the fuck did this dude pop out with a, like, 12-inch circumference fucking silver dollar? Where the fuck did that come out? Mm. Like, how is this thing literally moving from one hand to the other in front of your fucking eyes? The shit is moving. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The cards that can cover your head, right? The big cards.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's what makes it, that's my favorite room. Anyway, Eden.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with Eden because I've been trying to get Eden on my show for like God knows how long.
By the way, Eden is drinking a Bud Light with a straw.
Yeah, as she should.
I've never seen anyone drink a beer with a straw.
Classy, huh?
It is very
you
classy.
You get higher faster if you drink from a straw. Did you know that? Yeah.
Well, that's true.
As someone, a former alcoholic and drug addict, I would listen to your advice.
I could teach seminars on how to get fucked up in the shortest amount of time with a little money.
Okay, are there any extra straws anywhere? Did you bring an extra straw?
No. If you drink a beer with a straw, you will feel the effects a little faster.
Because it's not diluted with the oxygen.
I'm not, something like that, but when, I don't know. Okay, I'm not going to be the fucking Mr. Wizard.
Fucking go ahead, Holmes. Go ahead.
So I met Eden on the Dark Mark show, one of my other favorite shows here on Skid Row Studios, who ended its tenure a couple months ago.
Very sad.
Which, by the way, I just want to put this in real quick, and I'll say it again at the end of the show. Skid Row Studios is ending. So I've been doing this show for about 2.5 years. Wow. Sal used to do a show here.
I used to do a show here about 3-4 years ago.
So I'm just letting you guys know that for those of you that are listening live, you know, after October.
Why are you trying to make me cry, puto?
It's not going
to
happen. But anyway, but we'll speak on that a little bit later. But when I met Eden, Mark was talking about like her being in the funeral services industry.
Yeah.
And I've always.
Because he's a goth comic, which is death related.
Whatever the fuck goth means.
Goth
I don't know.
Is kind of dead. Dead, you
I'm talking about real shit here. Yeah. I'm not talking about motherfuckers that like make believe like they, you know, they live death or whatever. I'm talking about real shit here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about some fat fuck dies and he's got to be brought into a room.
Yes.
And the fucking coroner's office needs an autopsy and they need to know why he fucking died. I'm talking about real shit here, bro.
Yeah.
All right. So, Eden was, you know, we were talking about that and I was like fascinated because I've always been fascinated with the death industry for many, many reasons. Like why, for instance, that's not a question for you, but for me, it's like, why the fuck would you want to get embalmed? Why the fuck would you want to waste all that money on a service when once they bury you, no one's going to give a fuck about you. No one's going to come visit you for what?
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and that's a big Latino thing. Latinos love to have these caskets, these caskets, motherfucker.
Listen, I'm gonna put Flaco in an open casket, fool,
motherfucker. You couldn't afford dental insurance when you were alive for your fucking kids. Now you're buying a mahogany casket with brass handles, and you're going all out with the works. Why didn't you do that shit when the motherfucker was alive?
Because I'm doing it for the homie, fool.
So that's the thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. Why?
Well, let's start with the title of mortician. What you are a mortician? Is that what your job title is?
Yes.
Okay. And what does that mean exactly?
Okay. I'm not a coroner.
Okay.
They're the ones that do the medical investigations.
Okay.
They determine the cause of death. I have nothing to do with that.
Move your mic a little bit closer.
Get on that mic.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mortician.
Like, what does a mortician do?
I prepare the deceased for viewing, for burial, cremation.
Did you do embalming?
I do embalming.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And makeup and all that?
All that.
I mean, I love 6 Feet Under.
Great show.
6 Feet Under was one of my favorite shows.
Nowhere near realism.
Really?
Right. No.
Okay.
I mean, there are videos on YouTube, and you can go on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they have, like, embalmer stories or something like that. They actually have real fucking dudes, like, doing procedures, and you can watch this stuff. Mm-hmm.
There used to be a show called Family Plots.
I like that one also.
That was
Family Plot.
Also, yeah. So let's start from when a body arrives in your workplace. What happens?
It depends. It could go it could go direct burial.
Okay.
Full service.
Aren't you supposed to have an autopsy before you bury a body? I mean, that's
not
legally,
always.
Right?
Not
that's
always.
What the coroner's. That's only if there's question to your cause of death.
Yes.
That's it?
Yeah.
Like if I die and there's no foul play, my next of kin says, fuck him. Just bury him in a cardboard box. And
it's not up to your next of kin. It has to be determined by your doctor or the police.
Really? Because I know a guy whose wife died of sort of odd causes, and he's like, cremate her, and he cremated her right away. And even some of the family members are like, why wouldn't they want an autopsy on why she died? But he's like, no, I want to cremate it right away. And it's like, it seemed like he was trying to cover something up.
That was here?
That was in New York.
That was in Mexico, motherfucker. What are you talking about?
It differs from state to state, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, that should still be questionable out there.
I think so.
Well, put it this way. I'll tell you one thing. Every state has different laws that relate to how, why, when, and all that shit, correct?
Yeah. I mean, if she could have had a crooked doctor, well, you know, who knows?
Okay. You have to be licensed by the state of California to be a mortician in California?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to pass, like, state boards and all that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they do drug testing?
I hope not. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. No, they do.
How long? No, they do? They drug test morticians?
Yeah, I mean, every so often we get, like, surprise testing.
But not by the state, but like, the employer.
By my company, okay. But then it supposedly goes to the state and all that.
Well, you have to, because how about if the body's actually not dead and she starts shooting it up with fucking formaldehyde or whatever the fuck we're using there, and then 2 weeks later, you know, it comes to find out that she actually killed the guy because she was high.
No. I mean, I've gotten some bodies that I'm like, what happened to them? There's no, the cause of death is deferred, really? Undetermined.
And I'm like, what? You know, how's that?
It's been found to be no foul play. This is if it comes from the coroners. So if there's no foul play suspected, but they don't know exactly how they died, then they will allow us to proceed. I mean, we've had to exhume people, not often, but you know, like they'll be like, okay, well, there's questions now. And I'm like, well, they're cremated. Sorry.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to be cremated. In case I'm murdered, I want them to find
the killer. Meaning digging the body back out to do some further testing.
Yeah. Sure.
He was Mexican! I told you, puto!
I told you your grandfather was Mexican! I told you!
That whole thing is kind of wacky. I was actually reading, in fact, it's a very interesting article, and I was going to pull it up. There was a cemetery in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if I can pop this out, because I saved the article where there was flooding going on.
Oh, okay.
So the water would fill up the graves and fucking, you know, dead body juice.
Like what happened after Katrina. Right?
Would go into, kind of like what happened into Katrina. But this article was so explicit and so fucking nasty. I was like, Jesus Christ. Mm. Really?
Well, it doesn't just happen in Ireland.
No, I know it happens all over the map. I just happened to be reading. Let me see if I can
While he's looking for that, Eden, let me ask you.
Uh-huh.
What are your preferences upon your death for how you want your body to be treated?
Direct burial.
Direct burial?
I don't want embalming. It's too invasive.
Like, okay. So
you
want to
be buried?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want cremation.
Either direct cremation or direct burial. Burial. No embalming. I mean, I've had families bring me, as Liz knows, an eyeball in a Ziploc bag and expect me to rebuild the whole person.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy. They were Mexican, right? They had to be Mexican.
No, actually, wait a minute, no, they were not Mexican.
They're Middle Eastern.
They were gypsies.
Oh, wow.
They're
the gypsies.
I better not say they're the
worst.
Give
me your tears. Give me your tears. The gypsies aren't worse parents than the Mexicans, you think?
You would not believe the crap these gypsies do.
The problem is, here in Los Angeles, we wouldn't really know a gypsy if we met one. We would think they were Armenian or something. We wouldn't know a gypsy.
When you start talking to them, they start talking about curses and shit. You're going to know they're a gypsy.
Really? Oh, shit.
Okay, so I'm just like, okay, I'll rebuild whatever you want. Whatever you want.
So you have to be an artist then to do what you do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends. I mean, some people, like, I went the extra mile and learned how to do restorative art, which is like, you know, putting people back together. But
yeah, like if they have a gunshot wound to the face or something.
Yeah. But I mean, there's some morticians that don't even bother. Like, I just, you know, close casket.
It depends on if the casket is open or closed, right? Okay, so if you want open casket, you got to make me look pretty.
Yeah, but then there's some people that have, like, a closed casket and want the whole shebang.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something I'd like to have is a mock funeral, because I want to hear what people have to say about me. I really want to know what these motherfuckers think of me. That's what I want.
I can tell you. You don't have to go through all that shit.
Okay.
We can just take a consensus about it.
Tell me after the show. So you started as a mortician before you ever got into magic.
No. I was a magician before I got into.
Oh wow!
Before we get into magic, I want to know why. Why did you get into the funeral industry?
I never planned it. This was no gothy thing like ooh, I want to be boogie. In fact, that irritates the shit.
I want to be a vampire. Are you Team Edward or Team Jacob?
I'm team neither.
Look at your nails.
I glitter.
Oh, my God. I fucking love these nails.
I shit glitter, too.
Here, look. Rub the back of my neck with your sharp nails. Would you please?
So, but hold on.
Oh, my God.
I want to know.
I charge for that.
I want to know why. I mean, like, why? You weren't planning on it, but you didn't slip on a banana peel and wound up in an embalming room, right?
No, kind of. No, no.
So what happened?
They have a Halloween party at that cemetery that I work at every year. No, that just gave it away.
Right.
And no. I got hired to be...
Because we don't know where we're at.
It's a dead man's party. Who could ask
the
for
monster
more?
Mash. Ding, ding. Anyway, it depends on what year Partisan. It was or where you were at. Could be Louisiana.
Very true. And so I got hired to do walk-around magic at that cemetery for that party.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to somebody that I thought was hot. It ended up being the owner who... Long story.
Okay.
So he says, I really think you got a good personality. Have you ever thought of coming to this industry? I was like, funny. Why? Just because I'm gothy? He goes, no. In fact, you know, none of it has nothing to do with that, so.
You have a good personality? You should be a mortician?
So that's what happened?
No, so I was actually a pharmacy intern at that time, and I hated my friggin' boss. I hated him with... So that Monday, I went into work. The pharmacy got pissed off at my boss, got into a fight with him. The owner of the cemetery had given me a business card and said, if you ever want, you know, part-time, come check it out. Just give me a call. I quit my job at the pharmacy, started the cemetery the next day. They started me, my first task was to wop up spinal fluid and bile.
To wipe up spinal fluid and bile. Because
Bile.
Well, because when you get a body, you have to extract all of the body fluids, right? Yeah.
Well, I was like the piss on. I did everything nobody else wanted to do. That was like kind of like a test.
Sure. You have to make sure you're not going to like, because I'm kind of curious, I'll be like, look, I can do this. And I'd probably be like throwing up and going dizzy and fainting. I'll probably be fainting.
It's bad. But yeah. I mean, the reason he wanted me there is because of the people I would work with, the families. I talk to people like, I'm not like stuck open. Like, you know, when you go to most funeral homes, you feel kind of like, you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, because you're already under duress and stress and pain. So you want somebody with a good bedside manner. You do have a very like warm and calming manner about yourself and like non-judgmental. You have like a non-judgmental manner about yourself.
I mean, it just, it makes people.
Right out of high school, I worked at the Brooklyn Hospital in downtown Brooklyn, which at the time was fucked up. There were a lot of gangs and a lot of shootings and whatever. So the emergency room was very busy and the morgue was right next to the emergency room. So if you were, and I was a security guard. So if you're a security guard and your post was the emergency room and the undertaker came to pick up a body from the morgue,
mm-hmm.
they would need help. So you'd have to help the undertaker go into the morgue and take the body out of the freezer or whatever the fuck it was and put it into the hearse and mm-hmm. he'd give you a little tip. So I was told this.
The undertaker?
We do.
Well,
the WWE.
No. Well, back then, that's what we were told. Because I mean, my job is a security guard. My job is not to be fucking helping you know dudes come up and pick bodies.
No, security guards do all that shit. Like at Target, I see them folding shirts and shit.
Well, here's the deal. So my supervisor had told me this, and I was like, okay, I don't know how I feel about that, but you know, I'll deal with it when it happens, right? I'm not on the emergency room post all the time. So if it happens and I'm on the emergency room, chances are whatever, right? So the day came and it happened. So I had to go with him into the morgue. And now I don't like morgues, but I was interested, right? Mm-hmm. Which I'll have
it's a morbid curiosity.
No, it's a morbid curiosity. And I have to say, I have to preface this story by I used to always be interested in the morgue there. And I used to open the door and just try to peek in. And one time I peeked in.
You weren't jerking off where you were doing
no,
this.
No. But that's something that we'll move on with. I'm not going to answer that. But
at her, she's so fresh.
No. I opened the door and this fucking guy, the two morticians that worked there, one of them looked like Al Sharpton or what was Tyson's manager's name? That fucking
Don King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but the dude was darker than fuck, and his hair was standing up, and I think his name is Johnson, and the other fucking guy was white, pale like a motherfucker, and this time, Johnson was working there, and when I opened up the door, he fucking came out, and he had a fucking smock on, and he had a body on the table, and there was blood, and I was like, fuck, I was scared, and he said, hey man, don't do that. Don't open the door, okay? If you want to come inside, just let me know. You can come inside, but don't do that, man, because you distract me. And I thought my ass, you probably get scared of some shit. Yeah. It was basically he was in the middle of doing work and he got distracted. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the day came when the undertaker came and wanted me to help him get a body. First of all, I'll say I didn't go in the room when Johnson invited me. I was like, no, I'm all right. I'm cool. But when the undertaker came, I had to go in the body. I didn't want to go. I mean, in the morgue, and I didn't want to go in all the way. I said, "All right, I'll wait here for you. Find the body, because he had to go through the whatever shelves and shit like that. And when you find the body, I'll come up, and I hope you take it out. So as I'm waiting there, I'm just like overwhelmed with the smell in there.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. The smell. And I was
does
like.
Does it smell worse than a nail salon?
Yeah.
Because those chemicals in the nail salon, people work here?
No, it's a different smell. It's a completely different smell.
It's the smell of bodies or chemicals?
Chemicals.
Okay, yeah.
So it's the smell of chemicals, but subconsciously, their body's there, bro.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like breathing deep, and I'm trying to just like wait, and I was like, dude, I can't. I got to go.
Yeah. So how long did you last in the room?
Like fucking 5 minutes, man. It was just the smell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How do you handle that? You had to get used to the chemicals, right? Because I'm serious.
I'm so nice.
Seriously, I wanted to become a manicurist and pedicure. Seriously, I wanted to, because I like pretty nails. But I went in there, like I hung out in the salon. I'm like, how can people handle these chemicals all day? So how can you handle those chemicals in a funeral home?
Well, I wear a respirator.
Really?
That's my choice. But you'll never get used to it. I mean, there's not only the chemicals you got to smell, but then there's the smell of, you know, the obvious.
Yeah.
The rotting flesh.
Smell of post-mortem shit and piss and all that
stuff.
It's
a disgusting friggin' job. I don't know why.
Well, how long you been doing it now?
Since I've been a mortician since 2008.
Okay. So you guys get paid well? I mean, what's the incentive?
God, what is the incentive? I guess it's just because I work directly with the families. A lot of morticians don't.
Right.
It's I guess just making sure that, you know, that they're okay. And it's because like the families will gravitate towards me, not towards each other.
But that's almost like a counselor.
I'm a crisis counselor.
So basically that is your payoff, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not financial.
Right, okay. Because we were talking on the way down about feeling like I need to have a sense of purpose in my life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm depressed. You know what I mean? And so if you're not getting paid enough money, there's something that is keeping you there. And so that for you is the connection you have with the families, and you feel that you can bring some sort of peace.
It's got to be.
And comfort.
Like I said, I'm not your typical mortician. Like, I don't, you know, there's been times where I go to meet the family and the wife's like, I don't want her touching my husband. I'm like, why? Like, you afraid he's going to touch me back?
The dead husband?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I guess they, you know, they expect the total.
I don't want this puta touching my husband. Fuck this white bitch.
She's a puta, I told you.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's a magician part, which is definitely not financial.
Right.
You guys know how that is. It's like.
So basically,
well,
everything you do is a labor of love, it seems. You're just doing it for the pure love of doing it.
I just love pain, I guess. Yeah.
So, okay, so we'll move on to the magician part. But before we do that, I want to know, because I know you've been there since 2008, you said, right?
Yeah.
Which is around the time I came to L.A., 2008. What have been some of the craziest things that you've seen or have happened? Like crazy, weird,
okay,
whatever.
The craziest one was a man killed his wife with the claw part of the hammer. Mm. And he was the one I had to sit with and discuss her funeral.
And he's like he's a prisoner at this moment.
No, he's sitting right in front of me. He's free.
Why was he free if he killed his wife with a hammer?
The crime scene was tainted by the cops. So he got let go.
And this is like a real Law & Order SVU episode.
And the body had been like on ice until... Because he was her next of kin. They were going through a divorce, but it wasn't final. So he, even though he killed her, he still had to give me the instructions about what to do with the body, even if he was in jail.
Oh, hell no!
Yeah, but then he was found innocent, so I had to meet with him face-to-face.
He was found innocent
and he
already?
Says, burn the bitch and put her in a fucking coffee can.
Wait a minute.
Were you alone with him?
Well, he thought I was, but I wasn't. There was.
But I mean.
I ain't been alone with
but,
that
But, you know, he isn't going to hurt anybody. He just wanted to kill her.
He was tried.
Only her, she
I
was
mean,
a bitch.
But I mean, he was accused of a crime, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Or he was just a suspect.
Well, you're not really. He was found. He didn't even go to court because the police, like, there was, you know. They tainted it. I can't really say what they did. I know what they did, but they basically left clues that were not there before the cops got there.
I get it. Basically, his wife was the mother-in-law of a Latino kid who had a fight with his mom, and he was like, fuck her, puto, that's a mother, man, kill her. Something like that. Did I make a really fucked up kind of connection?
Yeah, that kind of had to go around the block.
Okay.
I mean, there's just so many, but that had to be one of the like most uncomfortable ones.
Well, that was disturbing.
And then he showed up to the funeral. Actually, he ended up giving her a full funeral. Showed up to the funeral, walked right up the aisle, sat next to her mother, just made a big old thing. Wow. I was like, this is going to turn into a big old death party.
Wow.
But everybody was calm, cool, collective. And I mean, I found babies in jars there. I found chickens. I found Party City Gothic people fucking in the cemetery.
Yeah.
You found surprised. Gothic people was with a dark mark?
Dark Mark jerks off at that theater.
Yeah, he doesn't really fuck. He just like stands around like whacks off.
He does?
Yeah, he just stands around and touches himself.
Yeah.
So, okay, one last thing about the mortuary industry, because this is really wacky. And about a year or so ago, I read this article and I saw pictures. And since, I've seen a lot more pictures, mm-hmm. which is where the deceased, they have it in their will that they want to be stuffed.
Taxidermy.
Yeah. Two of them, mm-hmm. they wanted to be taxidermied on a motorcycle.
Okay.
So dude wanted to be buried with his fucking Harley in a fucking see-through glass, mm-hmm. plastic, sure. plexiglass box.
Why be buried then? Just put on
my thing is that, like, have you done something like that?
Well, not that much. I've just recently started ordering alternative caskets for alternative people.
Really? Like, what's an alternative person or an alternative...
A shark casket where we could actually put you through the mouth. We'll put you in the mouth.
Of a shark?
Yeah. And actually, my boss is like, what the fuck are you doing? You're ordering all this crap. I go, just wait.
No, that's kind of like my mother wants to be buried in a witch's casket.
People want to be rolled up like joints. We'll do whatever you want. I mean, like, if like the guy on the bike, you probably needed two plots. Whatever you want, right. We'll make it happen.
So you're saying that there are some people that have some sort of death fetish where they want to be buried inside of a shark's mouth, so you have to procure a shark?
I've never actually had that request. I just thought it would be good a seller for the Sharknado phase.
No, it's not a real shark. It's basically a shark replica.
Yeah,
right?
it's a casket.
Yeah, it's not a real shark.
They have caskets shaped like everything you get at dildos. They have shark, I mean, casket ship, like
where
everything.
Where can I find a dildo casket?
They have caskets in Costco.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to find a shark or a dildo.
No. They have caskets in shark, mm-hmm. which I thought that's kind of whacked out.
Yeah.
And do they sell plots at Costco as well?
No. Plots have to be sold by the...
cemetery?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to do. Years ago, I applied at Pierce Brothers Mortuary to be a pre-need funeral planner.
Oh, you're going to be a sales counselor.
Well, like, I imagine myself walking around the beautiful grounds. But no, they're like, here's where you're going to sit. And they led me to this little cubicle at this desk. Mm-hmm. They're like, here's where you're going to make your calls.
Here's
your
phone.
I thought I was going to be, like, walking around the beautiful grounds.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Mr. Jimenez, listen. What you really want to do is you want to upgrade, okay? You want to upgrade. I know you can't afford it. We do financial planning here, too, okay? What you want to upgrade is for a Goya bean can made casket, okay? It's 100% stainless steel. It's got the red or black bean pictures all over it. It's perfect.
I like that. I would like to be buried in a giant Tapatio bottle. Can we make that?
We can make it happen. I mean, people spend like shitload of money on caskets and they're like living out of their car.
Okay, so how much is your average funeral preparation thing? An average.
Just not including the property?
Let's say the property. Let's include the burial property.
Well, if you include the burial property, it's going to bring it up to like $20,000 on average,
right?
I
don't know.
You can't fucking prepare a body and get a casket and not have the property, so I want to know.
I would say like the lowest, like full flip, like everything included funeral is going to run you about where I'm at, including a piece of property, about $30,000.
That's not too bad.
Oh, hell no.
Not too bad.
And then it goes, we have a plot that's $210,000 by itself.
$210,000?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but $30,000 is not too bad. Basically, what you do is you tell your son or your daughter, you're not going to amount to shit anyway, right? If they're Latino, right? You go, listen, Javiera, you ain't going to amount to a fucking thing in your life. So let me start saving. Instead of your college education, I'm going to put it in a funeral education because you're going to wind up dead by the time you're 30. And then it's a fucking win-win for everybody.
I don't get it. It's a waste of money.
I agree with you.
Oh, you don't think people should be spending a lot of money on funerals?
No.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And $30,000, you're saying it's average?
That's for the Southgate version of a funeral.
Oh, so that's on the low
that's
end.
That's Southgate, puto.
That's like an average. I mean, you know, since you're in the business, what's the national average for a complete?
Decent, 11,000, I'd say.
11,000?
Mm-hmm.
So how come the Southgate one is 30?
Because where we're at, our property's expensive.
Remember, it's still Los Angeles.
Okay, got it.
It's not Nebraska.
Got it. So the national average is 11,000?
I would say about 11,000.
So if I want to get my shit buried in the Bronx, it's going to be like 11,000?
Mm-hmm. And you get full cremation of 2,500. That's it. Done.
The cremation, 2,500. Why can't I just do that myself in the backyard?
You can.
That's not illegal.
No, it's not.
Right. So, I mean, I can get, like, wood... Like, it gets chilly here in L.A., like, around starting October, November. You just have a party in the back. You start a fucking fire. And how long does it take for a body to fully turn to ash?
It depends.
On the temperature?
It depends. No.
Wait, turn to ash? You're talking about cremation?
Yeah.
Temperature is always the same. It depends on the condition of the body, what they died of. You'd be surprised. Some people, this is going to sound gross, but one time we were doing a cremation, this little old man, Mexican guy, goes, "Hey, I didn't know you could barbecue here." I said, "You can." He goes, "That smells like carne."
So but you're saying some people can take longer to disintegrate than others. Mm-hmm. What are the factors when you say it depends on the body?
How many preservatives they have in the body?
Depends
probably
on what kind of container they're in.
Mm-hmm. Like they're in a dildo versus a...
Yeah, or a shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, if you're going to cremate somebody, why would you spend money on a casket? Doesn't it make
some
sense
people
to just
do,
put in
they
a...
Have a... You know, some people want to witness cremation. Don't ask me why.
Wait, they have cremation and a casket?
Yeah.
I never heard of such a thing.
I mean, the basic is a cardboard box, yeah?
Yeah, that's an alternative container. $150 cardboard box.
I'll take a cardboard box because really, you know what I'd like to do, for example? I'd like an illegal burial. My beloved cat, Fluff Daddy, of 16 years, passed away. I illegally buried him.
What the fuck you laughing at, puto?
Yo, my man Sal got a pussy cat. Motherfucker dies with a big back bat. They put him in a fucking rubber casket, and he wants to bury him illegal. Fluff Daddy.
Oh, no, that's sad.
So Fluff Daddy dies.
Let me see.
I illegally bury my Fluff Daddy
without,
you know, just in a blanket and put him in the ground.
That's not how
I want to be married. I want to be buried
that's not illegal for a cat.
No.
I want to be buried with a blanket and then put in the ground. And that's, I don't want a casket.
I don't want
anything.
Up in San Francisco, we have there is a funeral cemetery up there that has green burials.
That's what I want. I want a green burial.
Green burials.
Yep.
They wrap you up in a shroud, put you in the ground.
My thing is this.
Green with weed.
I just went to my aunt's house on Long Island. And my aunt, my uncle, and my cousin, they seem to like not ever leave the house. They have this house out in Ronkonkoma, right? And so I haven't seen my aunt in God knows how long, but I just felt like, let me just give her a call because you never know when someone's going to die and haven't seen them in forever, whatever. And she was on my mind and I happened to be on Long Island. So I go there. My fucking uncle's sitting there watching like reruns of fucking Dynasty on some godforsaken retard network. And like, it was almost as if he's never seen this show and this episode. Meanwhile, they're telling me what happens in the episode. I'm like, what the fuck are you watching this for? You know? And I'm showing my aunt pictures and she goes, "Oh, you're fat." And she also fucking speaks like that for real. So she's telling me where my father is buried. He was a veteran, so he's buried at Calverton National Cemetery, and I know exactly the plot. I took a picture where to go just in case I want to visit. God knows no one's ever visited my man, maybe once or twice in the fucking 20 something years that he's been gone. So she's telling me, "We got our plots too." I'm like, "What do you mean you got your plots?" She's like, "Oh, our plots are paid for already." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "What the fuck are you buying a plot for? No one even knows you live in this fucking house." I mean, you haven't left the house. Your neighbors don't even know that you exist. Why would you have a plot?
No one's visiting you while you're alive. Who's going to visit you
when
you're
dead? Dude, I'm telling you, no one lived. No one. They don't go out. Yeah. I mean, they may go out to the doctor, to the grocery store.
But they could be dead in their apartment for months and no one would know.
It's a house. No one would ever know. They're the first people in our family to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And they took my cousin.
Oh, they're rich, fool.
No. They took my cousin out of New York City. And anyway, that's another story. He fucking wound up. Talk about an alcoholic. My man took jail over AA meetings. Motherfuckers said they were like, "You want to go, you can go to AA or you go to jail." It's like, "Fuck you. I'm going to jail. I'm not an alcoholic, puto.
I can drink in jail, fool." Listen, man, we need to move along
about the magic.
I want to hear about the magic, and then I want to get on to our next guest with the limited time that we have. Tell us about your magic and how you involve your magic in your career as a mortician.
Okay, quick. Well, I go by the mortician magician. It just fit and it just worked. And I got clicks, and there's nothing ever been done like that.
Yeah.
I have the cremation casket. I basically, my whole act is revolved around death. But it's not like the Party City, you know, Hot Topic kind of goth. It's a different type of environment. You
know? Cremation, this is the real
cremation,
shit.
Cremation casket.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's an illusion. Basically, I could put you in there. Light you on fire, cremate you, and ta-da, you're gone.
And you're gone.
But
and you then you bring them back.
I don't bring them back. I just let them stay gone.
It smells like carne asada in here.
So how does that work?
I can't tell you. Shit.
Yeah, what do you think of that guy, that magician who wore a mask and would give everybody's tricks away?
I love Valentino. I'm so glad that man came to the surface.
What?
Really?
I love
magicians
him.
Hated him.
Oh, hell no. that man has made people try to do something new instead of the same old shit they've been doing over and over and over. That's another thing we all have problems with.
Got it.
I am so sick of shitty magic, and I will not clap for it, and I will not support it.
Right. Wow.
Too bad.
Like, I wouldn't know what shitty magic. If I'm blown away, I go, whoa, that's neat.
Don't get me started. Well, that's
because your whole fucking life savings disappears, so you're used to that type of shit.
Yeah, my money's gone.
It's like, yo, I had a life savings, puto, what happened? Magic. You remember this guy? You remember this guy, the punk rock magician? Fuck you! It's magic! You know who this is?
No, but I want to know.
You got to Google this guy. This guy's hilarious. Do you know Jay who he is? No. Fuck you, it's magic. Come on.
That's one of the reasons I like these two is because they're both different. I'm tired of the same old stuff. Like, just because your dad was a famous magician doesn't mean you're good.
Does that mean somebody? Like, are you referring to, like, Copperfield's son or something?
I love Copperfield. Copperfield doesn't have a son, but I'll give him one if he wants one.
I'll send you a link.
Well, I think Megan, he might have a son because wasn't he a rapist or something?
I'll send her a link.
I don't know.
Well, he was accused of rape at one time.
No, I don't think he is. Who the hell would not want to sleep with him?
I probably sleep with him, and I'm straight.
Okay, so
getting fucked by David Copperfield.
So do you go? You're obviously a member of the Academy of Magic Arts and Sciences, right?
Uh-huh.
Are you all members?
No.
You've all been there.
Yes.
They're working on it.
They're working on becoming members.
Do you have to qualify, like, three vouchers?
Yeah. As a magician,
how do you get in?
Well, you can pay a membership. You go to Google the Magic Castle, and they show you how you can be a member.
So it's like a guild? Is that what it is?
Kind of. But if you're a magician, it's a different membership than just a regular person that likes magic.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Because actually, you would audition to become a member. You would fill out the forms and
As
a magician member.
Okay.
They had another type of membership that I don't know if they have any longer where you could just be a lover of magic.
Yes, yes.
But for the magician membership, that's where you want to go because that's where you get the best benefit from the Magic Castle.
Yeah. But you consider yourself an escapologist, not a magician, right? Or do you consider yourself a magician?
I consider myself a magician as well.
Okay.
Because I've tried not just the escapology. I've tried other types of magic. I like some illusions. I can do some illusions really well.
Okay.
I've tried cards. The only cards I'm really good at are EBT cards and bus passes. I can't really do actual cards.
I'm
really
good
with
EBT cards also.
I'm awesome at those.
Yeah.
So I decided what I was really good at and what I felt good doing was escapology, starting off with a small little chain. Maybe it was the steel against the skin. I don't know what it is. Maybe I should keep the hands over here. But I actually like the feel of the restraints.
Oh, my God. I'm being turned on.
Okay.
So much.
There, you want to go to magiccastle.com to get all information about shows. So there are several types of memberships, okay? So there's a yearly member, associate magician, or global membership. You'll have the opportunity to see magic shows 7 nights a week, enjoy a special Friday lunch, Saturday and Sunday brunches, a treat for the whole family, yada, yada. Anyway, there's a magician, there's an associate, and I think there's another membership. But there's a magician membership, like you said, which you'd probably have to pay a little less or more. Because I know it's expensive.
It also depends on the time of year that you sign up.
Really?
Yes. I do know the magician memberships are a little lower in fees than an associate member fee. Just because you've literally paid your dues by learning the art of magic and being able to prove, not just in front of people that have seen magic, like a Vegas show, but you're going to be auditioning in front of, like, big names.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The board of directors.
Yeah.
What I find interesting is you know, forgive me if I'm just, you know, I'm the lay person, but is there, like, a sexual barrier? I mean, here we have two female magicians. I'm not used to seeing female magicians.
Well, that's the thing. I hate when people say female magician. I'm just a magician.
I've never seen a black magician either.
Oh, they have them. I saw a couple, a black dude and a really hot black chick, and they were a couple, and they were in the parlor of prestidigitation. You seen them?
Goldfinger and Dove, probably.
Yeah, they were like, and they were doing like some. He would do some like scat type of thing.
Jack Goldfinger. Yes, that's our energy director. He is amazing.
Dibbity do that, but that boo boo.
I think he would love Mondre.
Yeah, but Mondre doesn't work with the girl.
So, but just as a magician.
But this dude was a trip. He was a trip. He'd be like, okay, now so what we're going to do here is you're going to, when I do this, you're going to zip, dibbity, do bat, ba da boo, beer. And I was like, it's just fucking hilarious. Just the character. Yeah. You know what I mean?
See, but I would think when I saw him, wow, I've never seen a black magician before. Yeah, I would think that.
You need to get the fuck out of the house and stop fucking playing with Fluff Daddy.
I'm on YouTube.
And fucking toys on YouTube.
I'm on YouTube every fucking day. I never seen a black magician. I don't know if I've ever seen any female magicians.
Dude, in New York, there are black magicians, okay? All over the fucking city.
Are you talking about the three-card Monty guys?
You walk out the house and you get your shit taken in fucking 3 seconds flat,
okay? You're talking about pickpockets.
Yeah. Well, they're magicians. They're illusionists. they help you believe that when you came out of the house, you actually had things. Mm-hmm. But now, you don't.
You're right, I don't.
Okay, that's what it is. So let me just say, let me just go back, because there's interesting things about the membership here.
Are we plugging a membership?
No, I'm a fan of the Magic Castle. I am. I really am. I don't know.
Super quick. Well, let me put it to you in like a minute flat.
Go ahead.
Okay, magician member, you have to audition to be a magician member. You have all the benefits of the castle. You get lectures, access to a library that has every secret of magic known to man. Mm-hmm. You get all kinds of perks where, like, you'll be able to have one-on-one time with famous magicians. Mm-hmm. Associate members are more like for people that are fans of magic, don't really want to have access to a library. They don't really plan to make it a career. It's more of a hobby. Or they use it as a business. Like, that's where they have their meetings.
Right.
It's a wonderful place all the way around. But if you're serious about a magic career, it's best you go ahead and just try and be a magician member. They took classes from a magician named Mark Wilson, who's like one of the legends of magic.
But also,
there's two different kinds of membership. Magician member is cheaper, but it's also harder to do.
Right, because you have to audition.
Yeah.
But also, if you are a member of the Magic Castle, you can also gain entry into like the Players Club in New York City.
They have reciprocal.
They have different establishments, clubs, or whatever.
Yeah.
For instance, the Players Club in New York, I've been in, and basically, you know, it's a brownstone in the Gramercy Park area of Manhattan. You can have meetings and stuff like that, like Eden was just saying. But now they also have a global magician membership, and they also have a non-resident qualification, which is a little cheaper. Yeah. But you have to live out of state, but that's only for magicians, right?
Yeah, but, you know, if they see you often, they're going to be like, oh, hell no, you don't live in Arizona. We know you live closer.
Right. I have a New York City address.
You're trying to get it cheaper.
Yeah. I have a New York City address. My driver's license is in New York. So I'll be like, oh, hell yes. I drive here frequently, all right? Fuck you. It's magic.
Nestor, we only got a few more minutes, man.
We're good. I'm gonna send you the link of that Fuck You, It's Magic.
Sounds cute.
So, Liz, you were just talking about your escapism. How does your escapism...
That's escapism. No, that's what I do when I smoke weed and drink. That's escapism.
Yeah, how does that differentiate between, like, somebody who, like Sal, who doesn't want to face his life, or like me, like when I was an alcoholic and I blacked out?
No, she's an escapologist. That's different.
Well, I mean, she's also an escape...
blacked out during escapes, too. If you don't do them right, you can really...
But you're also an escape artist,
yes.
No?
Yeah. Which is an escapologist. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about, like, Houdini, right?
I wish I was as good as Houdini.
But he was an escape artist.
Yeah.
Houdini was an escape artist. Yeah.
Right. And one of my favorite escape artists is actually a gentleman from 1930s named Murray, an Australian escape artist. He was fabulous. But there's also some wonderful women escape artists that I like Dorothy Dietrich, one of my idols.
Contemporary right now?
She still does it. She's actually...
Well, I'm thinking of Marlena Dietrich is what I'm thinking of.
I'm sure she escaped out of a few things in her day. But I actually quite like it. What's strange about doing it and why I'm sort of amazed I can do it and enjoy it is... I was also claustrophobic. Mm. A claustrophobic escape artist is kind of...
Yeah.
Could be
a
real good comedy show if you do it wrong. Sure. You know?
So you get a rush out of it.
I do.
Yeah.
And I get more of a rush out of it when there's people that will insist I cannot get out. And I'll even let people do the restraints, and they will do them purposely on tight to make sure I don't get out.
So like, what is one of your... famous, if I can say the word, escapes that you do, like what is one of the most unbelievable escapes? I don't know how to say harder or whatever, because it's all subjective, right? Mm-hmm. But what is one of the most difficult? How about that? The escapes that you do that and that is unique to you. How's that?
Well, it's an escape I haven't really seen a lot of women do, actually. It has like a collar attachment. It's like a Houdini with a Houdini handcuff. So
being married to a Puerto Rican.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wait.
No, sorry. So being...
Well, you have a collar on. I'm listening.
You have the collar on that's attached with the padlock. You have the chains that go down to your wrists that have the hook, the loop around it, attach that. Then you have the leg shackles as well. Mm-hmm.
That's so hot.
And so they put you in some box... Or do you escape in front of an audience?
I actually do. There's things that they have. There's two types of escape. There's hidden and there's like full view.
Right.
I like to do the full view escapes.
Interesting.
I like people to see it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm a voyeur.
I would love to see that. No, I'm a fan of all that stuff. I really am. That's when I said the Magic Castle. Mm-hmm. I've been there God knows how many times. And I love it. So Jay,
this guy,
Jay,
I've been a member for like 10 years. He is more famous than I am. More people go to him. They ignore me.
What?
Like
what?
Go Eden who?
He's more. Yeah.
He's like
so.
The last
so
thing,
what's
man.
Your deal, Jay? Are you from L.A.?
Hungry.
No. You're not from L.A.
Originally, I was from L.A., but I got my ass kicked twice as a kid. So the first
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. The first time I was six, my dad transplanted me to Arkansas. Guess what? I talked funny.
Right.
Got my ass kicked.
Sure.
Lived there till I was 12, got transplanted over here, back again.
Right.
Surprise, surprise.
At 12.
I talk funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
So since 12, I've been out here doing it. You know, later on in life, though, is when I got into magic. I didn't get into it right away. Most people in magic, a lot of times, they'll do it from either when they're young, real young, or like their dad did it or somebody else did it, and they come along through it. I really got the bug, as it is, later in life, when I started learning about it, then it just took hold. I started learning as much as I can about it. Mm-hmm. And it really, really takes over everything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? Like, I mean, so close up. Like,
right.
So explain or tell me one of your close up routines and what does it entail?
Basically just cards. So you can do a card display mm-hmm. where I'll fan them out. I'll show mm-hmm. them they're all mixed up. Everything mm-hmm. looks up. It's a regular deck of cards. Mm-hmm. I'll cut it a couple times, have you cut it a couple times. I'll have you pick out a card. I'll tell you what it is. As soon as I tell you what that is, we can go through the deck again. I'll spread it out again. It'll go back in the deck. Somehow, it changes right over. I show you the card. The only card that you picked is right. The one that changed over.
Right.
As soon as I do a little countdown off the one you picked over, then I can show you some other cards that may be aces, kings, or whatever. I'll pick those up, and I'll change the colors of those right in front of your eyes.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Where all the fucking cards now change a color, or they'll change the same number, or some wacky shit like that.
Right.
Which is, you know, even if you have a quote unquote magic set of cards, right? Like that they meaning
like a
that,
trick deck. They call it a trick deck.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, meaning that like through heat, they fucking, you know, the faces change, or you know. Listen, I have a fucking set of cards, and some of them are shorter than the others. What do you call that?
Shuffle.
Thank you. So when you shuffle
it's
them,
it's fucking shuffle, puto.
When you shuffle them, these cards will show. When you shuffle them a certain way, the other ones can show. That's not the problem. The problem is how do you do that effectively in front of 30 people that are really close to you. That's really the mechanics.
Like
right?
I heard you. You have to have large hands. You have to have large hands.
Yeah, of course.
But that's the illusion.
I got to chime in here. This guy here, you're not giving yourself enough credit. He does stuff in a week that takes people mm-hmm. 3 years to learn. He's a
like
devil.
A
he's not normal.
One of your gifts is that you learn certain routines and maneuvers a lot faster.
Yeah, one of the things is I do learn because I've always learned a lot. I mean, I'm a scuba diver, real estate agent. I've done almost everything there is to do.
Right.
You know, so just learning new stuff, I always love it.
Shuffle it with one card? With one hand. Because only a few people can shuffle a deck with one hand, right?
Well, there's a lot of magicians who can't.
Yeah?
It's not as hard as people would think it is. But just, again, it takes practice. It takes just practice.
Yeah.
Like anything.
Yeah. One of my favorite magicians... were these two dudes from Portugal. They actually had a show in a theater in Westwood. They took the show that was produced by the president. I want to say, I hate fucking saying Doogie Howser, but...
Oh, Patrick Harris. He's no longer our president.
Patrick Harris. Uh-huh. Patrick Harris directed
you're talking about
it.
Aja and... you got the floating piano? That one?
No, he didn't float a piano. He didn't float a piano, but it was like a prestidigitation... a show, but it was fucking. It was probably one of the best ones I've seen.
It was different. Huh?
Yeah, it was different, and it was really good, really fucking good. Well, like a good night at the Magic Castle, your mind is getting fucked. Mm-hmm. At least I go early, and I see fucking two shows at the parlor, two shows at the close up, mm-hmm. the main show at the
palace
of mystery. So I see about five shows guaranteed. You know, that's what I like to see. Mm-hmm. And I'll get my mind fucked at least three times. you know, through the night, which is pretty wild.
Wait, know? Speaking of mind fucked, I want to ask the magicians, have you noticed that if different ethnicities react differently? Like, I believe black people...
They're my favorite.
Black people are the most awesome audiences to do magic. Because they're like, oh, hell no!
You're the devil.
You're the devil!
Yep.
When I used to work at a haunted house a few years ago, when I would love scaring them. The black people were the best people to scare when I used to work at the haunted house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I worked at the haunted house. I worked in fucking Madison Scare Garden, one of those first fucking things.
Yeah.
And I used to hide. There was a room that was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom type of setup. So you go in there and there's a sarcophagus, right? And there's like, you know, burning tiki things or whatever. And so basically I would hide under the sarcophagus and there's a little hole. And the thing was to watch all the black and Latina girls come in and the room would get packed. And then they'd look and they're like, nothing's happening. And just when the first two started to fucking walk out, you'd pop open the fucking thing. What? The motherfuckers start running.
Hi, Lupe, look at this.
No. Fucking screaming, eyes bulge out.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't do it for the money. I did it for the, it was a rush.
So have you guys found that as magicians, the different ethnicities react differently?
We actually want to do something called Magic in the Ghetto.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love it.
Like, I'm no joke. Like, we want to go to, like, Compton, South Central, Watts. Me and her, I'm not going to say it. Sanford and Son, biggest inspiration ever.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a great show.
Yeah, definitely.
A great show.
You know, I mean.
That's Aunt Esther in What To Say, Nigga, right?
Yep.
Isn't that
Fish
Aunt Esther?
That's Aunt Esther talking to Sanford.
Listen, sucker.
What did you say, nigga?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have Aunt a drink Esther. At the Palace Either? Or at the Magic Castle called the Sanford and Son.
We actually have a drink.
Because of you guys.
Called Sanford and Son.
Nice.
Yeah. I love the shit. I wish we had more time to talk to these people.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. I definitely want to go. I definitely want to see all you guys. Guests. You guys are in LA. You're based in LA, obviously, yeah?
Yeah, like Orange County for
Orange County. I would definitely love to see, especially you, Eden, because I know you for a long time, but I would definitely love to see you, Liz, and I would definitely love to see you, Jay. So for those of us who are in LA, how can we find out when you're going to be performing anywhere or at the Magic Castle, Eden?
Well, the Magic Castle, I don't have anything scheduled as of yet, but I'll be in Vegas the last week of October.
Last week.
I can't really release where or when because I haven't got...
But do you have a website?
Yeah, how do people find you?
They could find me on Facebook. I don't have a website. I took it down because it's... I don't know. It's not really...
It wasn't
it's
useful.
Not really needed, you know? Right. I mean, if people want to see me or meet me...
So do you post on Facebook when you're performing and where you're performing?
Yeah, that I will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Okay, how do people find you on Facebook, though? Eden what?
Eden Draven.
Eden Draven. Okay.
Yep. Draven.
Is that your real last name?
What magician uses a real name?
So, that's what I don't know. You're here to school me.
But no. Eden, E-D-E-N.
Okay. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And Liz?
Yeah, and actually, Eden and I are working together on an act that we're going to probably release end of this year, next year, and hopefully take it to different festivals. But we're also partnering together with a sort of group called the Magicians, where we're going to be promoting the art of magic and getting people really interested in seeing good magic and appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So, but that our website, we do have it. We're just getting it set up.
For the Magicians.
For the Magicians. So if anyone wants to get a hold of Eden and myself, they can just do contact at themagicians.com. They'll get right to it.
Wait, but how do you spell Magicians?
Oh, I have to write it down.
C-I-E-N-E-S.
Okay.
Magicians. Yeah. Hey, I have an idea. As you guys were talking, you guys should just go to Roscoe Chicken and Waffles if you want to do your ghetto magic.
We're going to
just pop in
M&M's.
And be like, I'll be your, what do you call that? Your
plant.
Our MC?
No. The guy that fucking, like, send dog.
The hype man.
The hype man. I'll be the hype man. I'll be like, yow! What the fuck is popping? Yow!
We're taking him on tour. Yeah.
and okay, so Jay, where are you? Where can I find you? When can I find out where you're performing, etc.?
Well, I'm not online or anything right now, and I'm right in the middle of changing my performances. So the stuff I did before, I'm trying to change it and come into some newer stuff. So I really don't want to perform what I've done before.
Right.
I want to start going in the new direction.
But let's say when you're ready to showcase your act, how am I going to find out?
Where just remember Jay Remy. I'll be out there, believe me.
Is that R-E-M-Y?
Yes.
Okay.
He is also somewhere on YouTube. I'll have to make sure I send it to you, where he's doing his needle-through-balloon illusion.
So you do have a YouTube where somebody can actually watch some of
this. Yeah, why are you trying to fuck with us, homes?
It's not supposed to be out there. But
it's out there.
That is what's getting you out there, is that video.
Dude, I want to see it.
Say it.
So what, Jay Remy on YouTube?
Yes.
I think that's it. Yeah.
And Giacomo,
make sure you get it.
Giacomo, where will you be? How can we find out more about you?
Well, ask you, because you will be the first one to know at what point I am to coming back here.
That's right. He has to sponsor you to come back to the
US. I just want to say before we end the show, Giacomo is a multi-talented, hardworking, highly integral. Is
integral.
That the right word? It's He's got really good integrity.
No, that's not the right word.
That was in the right word. That was in the right word. That's what I'm saying. He's got really good integrity, good work ethic, and he can't speak English for shit, but his accent is pretty good, and he's a good guy. I've grown to love Giacomo. I'm going to miss Giacomo.
Hey, I'm going to miss you all as
and
well.
And I wanted you to say in Italian, make sure you listen to Nestorius Public Radio in the future through iTunes, something like that.
Fate in modo di ascoltare Nestorius su iTunes.
I'm getting wet and I don't even have a place.
Big up your motherfucker, you Italo! You Italian Switzerland speaking motherfuckers from the hood, man! Anyway, that's our show, man. Thanks a lot. Make sure you tune in next week and check us out and like us on Facebook and make sure you subscribe to iTunes because once the show is off the air live, you can still check out the shows. They're archived. All right?
Me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.